Good Wednesday, everybody. We're going to play music for Locker's Soul today here on the Green Zone. A little Tragically Hip, his favorite band to kick off the program.
Hold on, do I get to pick all the music?
Because Locker's going through it, okay? I'm glad you're here. Last night, you were not fine. You were blaming Gary Bettman. You were blaming Connor McDavid for touching the conference championship trophy. You were blaming the Kachuk grandmother again. It was partially to blame for this. I was a bit concerned last night when we said goodbye.
The Kachuk family, though, it's not a good topic.
So you're doing okay? Just a little check-in for the second straight year Florida skate away with the Stanley Cup.
We have had this conversation before. It's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game. I recover quite quickly. There are going to be moments that would get me going.
What would your tenant in the basement say about how emotionally you handle yourself during
last night. Last night during the game... It was a little rough.
What was the loudest Locker got last night? Just pull the curtain back. What moment was it? Can I guess?
I'm trying to remember.
Guessing the loudest you got was probably when they didn't call a penalty on the McDavid trip.
That wasn't it. No, I gave up on after the first second series. I gave up on the officiating. I can compartmentalize stuff, and I'm good at, that's not going to change. So you just got to move on. I'm trying to remember. There was a moment, and it wasn't the Cantaloupe commercial, where I lost my mind. Something happened in the game. It was a broken coverage. I think it might have been Bouchard.
Broken coverage, Bouchard, in the same sentence?
Never.
That was a bit rough.
Well, and here's the issue that I had with the first period last night. The Oilers won the first period.
Yeah.
And at the end of the first period, it's 3-0.
It was 2-0.
2-0 again. I mean, I was losing my mind. How do you win that period and end up 2 back and you're fighting it?
I couldn't believe it.
It was a hard watch.
That start for the Edmonton Oilers was rocket. They were flying.
Yeah.
They were hitting. They were doing everything you need to do. And then one little oopsie pass from Ekholm, a soft play by Bouchard, and Sam Reinhart goes dirty dangle and
that
goes
was,
by Stewart.
That was when I lost my mind.
And it was 1-0. And just like that, you're like, oh, this is how it's going to be again for the Oilers.
Yeah. But I'm good. I'm good today. Honest, I'm good!
Let's go!
The top sports headlines. Headline number one.
The Panthers begin to celebrate. The Florida Panthers win their second consecutive Stanley Cup.
5-1 the final. 4 goals last night by Sam Reinhart. 2 were in an empty net, as the Oilers pulled Stuart Skinner with 7 minutes left, down 3-0, trying to rally back. As for the Conn Smythe winner,
the Conn Smythe trophy goes to the most valuable player in the playoffs. It's only fitting that this year it goes to the leading goal scorer, Sam Bennett.
Sam Bennett could have been Brad Marchand. Could have been Bobrovsky. They had so many players up and down the lineup for the Florida Panthers. 5-1 as the Panthers go back-to-back, and Matthew Tkachuk claims, we got to be a dynasty now. If we were playing Truth or Trash Tuesday today,
please stop bringing up the Tkachuk.
I would say that's trash. It would be trash, Matthew. You need one more. Absolutely.
Now, what for the Oilers?
The takeaway is that we didn't win. Nobody cares. We didn't win. So Yeah, good. Try again next year.
I will say this. Dreisaitl is that's must watch TV when he's in a bad mood. I don't know why he's such.
Yeah, he's
a jerk.
Well, they zeroed in on him after the second period, and his body language was just awful.
Yeah,
but it was awful, and that's where I agree with him going.
How do you feel about that? Like, should a player be better at hiding that, or are you okay with
in game six in a must-win situation? You can't go wah-wah to the bench,
yeah,
half-assing it on a change. Like, you can't. Like, that it was. It's not like quit. It's not like he quit, but it's just.
I didn't see moments of him quitting, but his body language is bad.
Come on.
When he's in a bad mood, he lets the press know about it.
Well, that's why Jim Matheson, many moons ago, do we have the clip still or did we get rid of it? I think we might have got rid of it, where he said, why are you so pissy? He asked Leon to his face, why are you so pissy? And because Leon does.
Yeah.
He gets that way, and he got that way last night.
I don't know why. I find him a little bit entertaining.
He's at least honest, right?
Well,
you can't get more honest than this.
Nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. We didn't win, so yeah, good. Try again next year.
Here's the other thing too. McDavid was really mad as well. And last year McDavid was emotional after the loss. This year he's mad, and we talked about this with JB last hour.
Mm-hmm.
I am 100% okay with angry McDavid. I'll take angry McDavid over emotional McDavid. And, yeah.
We'll get into the future of the Oilers in just a minute with McDavid eligible to sign an extension, although Toronto media want you to believe that he might have to take this offseason to reconsider if Edmonton is his place to be in the future.
It's ridiculous.
It is honestly ridiculous. NBA final, another day off ahead of game six tomorrow.
Kicks it out, stolen by SGA. 2-on-1. Gilgeous Alexander, layup is good, and a foul.
We'll see if the Larry O'Brien trophy will come to Canada with Shea Gilgeous Alexander and Lou Dort and the OKC Thunder have a chance to polish off Indiana tomorrow. And yes, I am aware there are two Canadians on Indiana as well. So either way, Canadian basketball players are winning the Larry O'Brien trophy for the NBA championship. But the Thunder can put away Indiana tomorrow.
After being swept by the Phillies, the Jays bounce back with a huge win at home.
Swing and a high fly ball, deep left field, we are tied! Swing and a high drive, right field, way back, the Blue Jays win the game!
The first one you heard there was Bichette, the second one was Barger, back-to-back, ninth inning homers for the Jays. They respond after being swept by the Phillies with a big win over the Diamondbacks. The final there was 5-2-4. Vladdy hit his ninth homer. He's a little low on homers this year, but starting to look a little bit better. Mm-hmm. The one that he hit last night apparently was the longest one he's hit, a double decker, the longest one that he's hit this season, and he brought in three ribbies last night as well.
And we go to the Rough Riders. Doesn't sound good for Sam Emelis this week against the Toronto Argonauts.
It's going to be pretty tough for old Sammy this week, not anticipating anything long term, which is good. Just going to be tough for him this week.
Of course, Sam Emelis had over 100 yards in the week one win over Ottawa. Last week left the game late. He's fifth in receiving through the first 2 weeks of the season. Looks like Joe Robustelli might make his debut this season for the Riders, of course. Game day is Friday night in Toronto at BMO Field. The Green Zone pregame show at 3:30. Of course, we'll have a special game day edition of the Green Zone starting at 2 o'clock ahead of the Riders and the Argos. The Argos 0-2, of course. The Riders trying to start the season at 3-0. Coming up next, what's wrong with the Oilers? What do they need to improve? And what is the future of Connor McDavid? Will he decide to play somewhere else to go win a cup? Even Matthew Tkachuk said it. He's going to win where that is, I don't know. Or wherever that is what he said.
Can we stop last night? The Tkachuk family, please.
Please?
Are you okay? Are you sure? You said you're okay, but every time I say Matthew Tkachuk, your eye starts to twitch. So Oilers, what changes? What is the tweaks, I guess I should say, is more fair, that need to happen now? So instead of watching Gare Bear hand the trophy over to another team, that it's Connor McDavid that gets his mitts on the mug, if he's an Oiler, when they win the Stanley Cup. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I'm going to miss this song. Kirk texted in, "Why didn't you tell me to put more on the line?"
We are getting some funny texts. What went wrong? I guess we're doing an early edition of Armchair Analysts. This came in from Sheldon about Murray Wood's Game 7 promo. He says, "It's all Murray Wood's fault, our boss, who made us produce and voice a Game 7 watch party Green Zone promo yesterday.
Just in case. We had to be ready.
But hold on.
This is all preparation.
Yesterday, I had a quick meeting with
Did you want to come in at 5 a.m. to voice that thing or voice it yesterday?
We could have done it today. It didn't have to happen yesterday.
It's had to start in the run in the morning shows with Shaq and Greg.
Okay.
So I didn't want to come in at 5 a.m. I was up, but I didn't want to come in.
There was ways around not having to do that yesterday. Okay, hold on. I also think that you have played a part in that, because I had a quick meeting with Murray yesterday on Tuesday morning, and you came in with a smirk on your face, which is common. You normally have a smirk.
Yeah, I'm in a great mood. I'm coming to work to talk about sports. Why would I come in with a scowl?
You said to Murray, when you're done with Locker, I have something I need to talk to you about. And then on a heel, you turned around. And I went, And I never did find out what that was. You were planning this whole promo thing just to mess with me.
I don't remember talking to Murray at all yesterday.
You totally did. What are you talking about? And then when I was like, we can't produce this today, the game isn't even on, you were like, well, we have to. And you had a smirk on your face.
Sheldon's blaming Murray. You're blaming Gary Bettman. Others are blaming Mark Carney. Maybe it's the Oilers that need to be blamed.
This one from Todd. I told you, Jamie, the Perry curse will live on.
5 of the last 6 years, he's lost the Stanley Cup final. 5, the only others to ever do that, to lose 5 of, in that duration, were members of the Detroit Red Wings when their original 6 back in the 30s and 40s, when they were all on the same team for those years. Corey Perry's done it with 4 different teams. That is ridiculous to
That
me.
Is pretty remarkable.
Tampa, Dallas, the Oilers twice in Montreal. Remember the COVID Stanley Cup? He was with Montreal when they lost to Tampa. That's nuts.
This came in from Clint in Lumsden, your old neck of the woods. Good afternoon, gentlemen. In regards to the Edmonton Oilers losing last night, I wish I could be that bad at my job and get paid millions of dollars.
Is he talking about Stuart Skinner?
I think he's talking about the Oilers as a whole.
Who? What? Number one. There's one thing. Wave the wand. What is it?
To fix it? I want a goalie that steals games. I hate to do, because I actually really like Skinner, and I think Skinner's a decent goalie. I just don't think Skinner is that goalie that gets you to that final prize.
Sign Sam Bennett. That one move. If you give me one thing to do, sign Sam Bennett. Give him whatever you want to pay Evan Bouchard, and give it to Sam Bennett. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. I think I'm going to pivot here on the show. Outside of just answering the question for real on the problems that felled the Edmonton Oilers, the show is turning into the dumb reasons why the Edmonton Oilers lost the Stanley Cup, like Gary Bettman and Pink Pony Club.
I think Kevin from Regina Beach, who
Murray
did comment
writing a promo early.
about the Pink Pony Club song is not far off. How can you expect anyone to win when that's your winning song? Thank you, Kevin.
What did we talk about here on the Green Zone before the Stanley Cup final? We talked about that all of Edmonton Dairy Queens should refuse to serve blizzards to the Florida Panthers.
No, I even came up with an idea to call.
And what happened?
The DQs.
Game five, they got Dairy Queen in Edmonton. What do? They won. They were undefeated whenever they got Dairy Queen during the Stanley Cup.
That's not necessarily true because I did a little bit of investigation behind the scenes. They did lose a couple of games with their trips. And the Dairy Queen crew, like the grew the more and like the further along they got into the playoffs. It was only like a handful of guys. It was like Brad and like three or four other guys that were going.
Yeah, Nate Schmidt was in that original group.
Yeah, a couple of his line mates started joining him. I guess the Finns
was in there.
They love ice cream. And you have on the board, Brad Marchand, number 63, eats the blizzard out of the cup. And I have yet to see proof of that happening, but I believe that that is going to happen.
Here is their general manager, Barry Zito, on with Pat McAfee today.
I did not go with the boys to DQ, but they went, I think it started in Carolina. And then then they remember Marchand had honey during a game and someone asked him. And he said, oh, yeah, that was a blizzard. And then it took off. And then I do think that they went in Edmonton. So, you know what? That's just a great example of something that you pointed out, Pat. They have a good time. They're having fun. Yeah, they like to eat ice cream. They're burning the calories. They'll bring it back for everybody. That will tell you as much about the trip there is when you come. You know they were there because in the lounge, there's DQ for everybody.
That's why Brad Marchand is a great human being now. He's completely flipped on me. 180. 2011, dirtbag. Licking faces, dirtbag. But now when he goes out for DQ, he brings everybody else some.
He's still a dirtbag on the ice.
That's a top-notch human.
Yeah.
I bet you he returns his cart at the grocery store too, Brad Marchand. I bet you he does.
Apparently,
he's now a gentleman.
Apparently Vito was asked about whether or not he was going to try and do everything he could to keep Brad Marchand. And this was in the post-game stuff. And I guess one of his comments was, well, I bought a DQ. That's how he responded to that question. Funny.
Yes, the Florida Panthers celebrating. And it's on the board. I did put down, if the Panthers win, Brad Marchand will be seen eating a blizzard out of the Stanley Cup.
Well, and I've seen
that
some
might happen
memes
today. Actually.
I've seen some memes.
Meanwhile, let's get to a little bit of football news with Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray, who nailed it again yesterday on his Stanley Cup prediction. He picked the Oilers to beat the Florida Panthers.
It's a good thing I get paid to talk football, not hockey.
Did you go 0-for in your predictions in this?
I think I called one of the games.
One of the games?
Yeah. Which one? I don't know.
See, I went 2-for-2 out of 6 because I did pick Florida yesterday. So that was a good start, or a good finish, I guess you could say. But let's get to the Rider news, and it's not great news. Sam Emelis waiting the injury report officially from the team this afternoon. Could come as we talk here in the next 10 minutes. Likely not playing against the Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah, that's a big loss. Corey May said it would be tough for him to go, which usually means, especially this early in the season, why push a guy, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. Sam Emelis is going to be a key for this team down the stretch, as long as it's nothing serious. As we said, we're waiting. I assume it's going to be the one game. It doesn't seem overly concerned, but you never know. As we've heard before, sometimes coaches will tell us something, and then all of a sudden, depth chart comes out, they're on the 6th game. Don't think that's going to happen, but it has happened. Outside of that, I mean, this receiver room is so deep. When you look at the depth, I mean, Keyshawn Johnson getting more targets probably isn't a bad thing. Dante Myers, we like what Joe Robustelli did in the preseason, and it looks like he's going to be the next man up. So not overly concerned, especially against, frankly, a Toronto team still trying to find their way without possibly their leader on defense out there this week.
I'm curious why Picton's name doesn't come up more when you talk about that, like the depth on not specifically you guys, but in general, because from what I can see in practice and in games, he looks like a pretty reliable target.
No? He's already starting, though. He's already taking the place of Kean Schaefer-Baker, so yeah. He's one of the starters now, no longer the depth. But as you mentioned, he's been so good as that backup receiver, that backup guy for the Riders for years, because he can play any position. They don't have to move guys around.
Yeah.
Whoever gets hurt, oh, Mitch can go out there and be clutch on in the fourth quarter. He always knows where the first down marker is. He's one of the most underappreciated players in the CFL, maybe.
Joe Robustelli comes on, likely. Again, we'll see what the depth chart says tomorrow. We're still trying to figure it out on which American will come off for Joe Robustelli. Is it going to be Kadeem Carey when he's going back to Toronto to play his former team?
Based on talking to Kadeem Carey today, no, that is not going to be the case. He is excited to play against Toronto. Of course, we'll see it. A defensive lineman makes a ton of sense. And now I asked Corey Mace today about Thomas Bertrand Houdon, who was limited in practice, but he was back out there dealing with the groin, if he's ready to go. And Corey Mace kind of answered it like that's one of the ways we could go. That definitely is, which makes me think maybe we were a week early where we were thinking Benoit Marion comes on for someone. Maybe Benoit Marion comes on now for Sam Emilis, and you keep the two American running backs and you just take off one of those American defensive linemen.
I'll be interested to see how this shakes out. Of course, tomorrow is when the depth chart officially comes out from the Rough Riders. But let's focus more on the Argos. 0-2. I know the team can. I talked to Jameer Thurman, a couple of guys yesterday. You've talked to him this week. They're the defending Grey Cup champions. They're still the defend. The Argos are not a good football team to start the year. They just flat out aren't. If I'm doing power rankings, they might be at the bottom, actually.
When is your first power rankings coming out?
I'm going to wait to actually do a doing it after week one, like, really. Now that the Stanley Cup's handed out, I think we're going to dig in next week on the power rankings. I think they'd be last for me on my power rankings.
They're definitely there. Maybe Edmonton, but we haven't seen much of Edmonton as they've been just on a bye week.
Who knows?
I mean, that's what happens when you're missing both of your star players, your leaders. Chad Kelly isn't there. As much as Nick Arbuckle went out and won a Grey Cup, let's be honest, the Nick Arbuckle you're seeing now is kind of the one we've seen throughout his entire career, never mind just one game. And then Winton McManus hasn't been healthy this season. He kind of pushed it, and now there's concerns about how long he could be out, and he is such a major player and leader on that defensive group. That this is a team that's kind of just trying to find a way and tread some water until they get some of these guys back.
Hasn't there been a bit of a bump, at least in the East, with ticket sales, and specifically in Toronto?
Toronto had their highest attended game since 2016 in their opener last week against Calgary.
So that's interesting that the team, from all accounts, doesn't look great, but they're dragging people out.
Well, when you win two of the last three Grey Cups, hopefully there's a little bit of a boost.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure how much that was papered for the Toronto Argonauts, but at least they're showing up. Because you could see it on, I noticed it right away, watching that game against the Stampeders. I was like, did they change the camera? Because usually they face it on the one that usually doesn't have a lot of fans, and then you see the reverse, and it's like, oh, okay, the main grandstand's pretty full. But no, it was actually the other side that usually looks empty. They didn't, of course, they don't sell any tickets in the upper deck, but the lower deck was almost full. It was a pretty impressive crowd. Hopefully it's that way Friday, too, for Friday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like even Toronto, there's been a little bit of positive momentum. Part of that has been winning. Let's be honest, the Argos have been really good since Dinwiddie has taken over. They've won championships. We know how tough it is to break through in that market with all the different sports you can go to there. But it's nice to see this early. Now, of course, it helps that the Leafs were out early. The Raptors didn't do too much. They've kind of cooled off. So that helps get more sports fans out because they have more disposable income because maybe they're not going to as many Raptors games. I mean, you have to pretty much be very rich to go to Toronto Maple Leaf games anymore, let's be honest.
That's a franchise, though, that can turn things around quickly. Am I wrong?
Well, the NFL shadow looms large in Toronto. Like, there's so many that go to Buffalo.
I'm not talking about fans in the stands. I'm talking about on the score sheet.
Oh, absolutely. Like once Chad Kelly gets back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Riders are catching them at a perfect time on the schedule for this short week with travel east. A quick note, we thought Drew Brown might be back for the Ottawa Redblacks. Maybe not. Dustin Crum was taking snaps ahead of Matthew Schultz as they get ready to go to Calgary this week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. AJ Jakubek, who we know on the program here, he reported that it was Dustin Crum taking a lot of the ones today. Apparently Bob Dice hasn't ruled out Drew Brown yet, but that's not good.
Yeah. You can't change your pick, by the way. You already picked Ottawa.
I said that was terrible when I first saw that tweet. I was like, all my picks were based on Drew Brown playing this week.
Too bad. That's so sad.
You make him lock his picks in?
Well, we already recorded the Blitz. We have the predictions right there.
Oh, is the Blitz out?
It's out right now. YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, Canada's fastest growing CFL podcast, The Blitz. Go get it where you listen to your podcasts.
Or it's watch everywhere. On YouTube.
In fairness to
way
Jamie
better on
as
Spotify.
Well, he puts his picks out even earlier than I have to because he's on the CFL picks.
I have to make my picks by Monday night.
I think he changes his picks. He makes three different picks kind of throughout the week, and I think if you look back, changes where
that
he goes.
That tracks.
That is a bunch... of who you are misleading our listeners. How dare you?
CFL.ca, what you say on
it's
the green
right
zone, the pregame show. There's a lot
it's
of
right
different
there.
Places you can just kind of, you know, slip in.
It's
maybe.
All right there in print on CFL. They even track it throughout the entire year. Those are my official
Did you win
picks.
Last year?
I've won like two or three straight years on the CFL.ca predictions. Why I'm the person
Naylor?
Who writes the weekly predictor piece, because I'm the best at it.
You're even beating Naylor?
Naylor's not on the CFL picks.
Okay.
And you know, I don't think Naylor's very good at predictions, to be quite honest. Don't tell him I said that tomorrow when he's on with us. He had Nathan Rourke in his top 40 list. Britton, thank you so much. Although Don't lie to them. I can't believe you lied to the listeners that I changed.
I'm just
picks.
Saying sometimes I wonder if you slip one by us when we're not paying attention to all three.
Britton Gray will have you covered. The injury report.
He's on to you.
Should be Jamie. Coming up anytime now.
You want a blizzard to make up for it?
I do. Reese Peanut Butter Cup. Let's go. Coming up next here on the Green Zone. It was the beginning of what is now known as the Tiger Slam, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions.
Who's puck everybody scores? Tie game!
Have another donut.
Which better Thomas me? I'll be back in time. Gotta get back in time.
On this day in sports history, it was a first for Tiger Woods.
And Tiger Woods is the 100th U.S. Open champion in history.
On this day in the year 2000, Tiger Woods wins his first U.S. Open. It was also,
oh, I remember that.
It was also the beginning of dominance at the majors. So he won the U.S. Open, then he won the British Open, and then he won the PGA Championship at the end of 2000. And then, of course, he would start the 2001 season by winning the Masters, which is now known as the Tiger Slam, as he was the reigning champion of all four majors at the same time.
Was that the Nike 2001 Masters? Where the Nike ball, like,
I want to say that was the
in?
98 Masters, potentially. But Tiger wins his first U.S. Open. It started the Tiger Slam. It was the first of four straight major championships by Tiger Woods on this day in the year 2000.